Let us turn to the chapter of God's Word that we read together. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, let us consider now verse 10, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and at verse 10, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee." And what we have here is Moses speaking to the children of Israel when they were about to enter the promised land. They're just about finished their wilderness journey, and they are to enter into what is a good land, a land where they need never be hungry if they had God's blessing, a land where they would be well provided for. And what they were to do when they had taken their meal, when they were settled down in the land, when they would take their meal, they were to bless the Lord for providing such a good land, for putting them into that kind of situation where they could eat and be full, where they wouldn't leave their table or whatever their arrangements were, when they wouldn't leave their table hungry. And that very much speaks to our situation in this country, when we have plenty of food, whatever difficulties individuals might have. But speaking generally, people don't leave their tables hungry. So when we have eaten and are full, we are to bless the Lord our God for the good position that he has put us in. Now, we might apply that for a moment, as far as just introducing the subject is concerned, to those who go to church or go to their Bibles, who sit down and the Lord provides them with a meal, a spiritual meal. And they are to take up these words, though they may still have some desire for more. And that should always be our feeling in relation to what the Lord gives spiritually, that we cannot live in that for the rest of our lives. We need to be getting provision for our souls again and again. But still, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good situation, spiritually speaking, where he has put thee. That we are to be thankful that we live in a country that has a Christian heritage. And part of God's providence to us personally in connection with that Christian heritage is that we have the Bible, and I'm sure I can assume that all of us here respect the Bible in some degree, that we realize that we need it and that it's a good thing that we have it. We need to bless the Lord for his kindness in putting us in a spiritual situation where the Bible is respected. Whatever may be true of the town of Stornoway, say, today, very different in many ways from what it once was, as probably most of you know better than I do, but you see, we belong to various congregations, and you belong to this congregation or in a situation where you have had a succession of ministers who taught you to respect the Bible and to search it, that you might find Christ in it. Your whole situation is a good one. Your whole situation is one where you are encouraged to seek the salvation of your soul and get spiritual good for your soul, to be praying for spiritual blessings. And when you do get a spiritual blessing, then you are to bless the Lord for the good situation in which he has placed you. But let us consider what we can learn from this verse under two headings. The first is God's provision. In relation to the good land, and in relation particularly to eating and being full, God's provision. And then in the second place, what our reaction should be, that we should bless the Lord for the good land, for the good situation that he has given us. First, God's provision. And second, what our reaction should be. Well, let us begin with the provision and start with the temporal provision that we have. And you've got some further detail from verse 7 onwards. The Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Now, that, as far as I'm concerned just now, that's just a general picture of how things were in the promised land into which the Israelites were to go. And if we were to try to apply the details to this land, well, I don't know any hills where brass would be dug. But that's not the point. The point is that, relatively speaking, we have prosperity. Relatively speaking, we don't need to go short of food. There's a provision. We can always get something to eat, surely. We may not, some people might not always get quite what they want. They may have to do with plainer food than they would wish. Well, let us look at things from a historical perspective. Let us look at things perhaps probably in this island in the 1840s when there was the potato blight and there was famine in large measure in various parts, many parts of the Highlands and Islands. But we're not in that position today. We're so much more prosperous. How we should bless the Lord for the good land in which he has placed us. We should thank the Lord, and in particular, when we have eaten and are full. Now, there's an idea in some places. Yes, we ought to say grace before our meals. But that we haven't got the example for returning thanks afterwards. There's no record, for instance, that after the Saviour fed the thousands of people with the loaves and fishes, yes, he gave thanks before he distributed the food. There's no record that he gave thanks afterwards. Well, we have the teaching here. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God. We are to return thanks afterwards. But what I want to focus on more is the provision of spiritual food, and we'll come to the duty of giving thanks for it. But just now, to focus on the provision that we have. Now, if we go back a little to the provision, which would have been ongoing at this time, the provision of manna for the children of Israel. And they are reminded of that. We have it at verse 3. He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. And and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Excuse me. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And of course that was one of the verses from Deuteronomy that the Savior used against the devil to correct the devil and correct us when he was tempted in the wilderness. But they had the provision of manna, that miraculous provision, so that they didn't go hungry. And there was a lesson here that they were to learn, as we should learn, that man does, that we do not live by physical bread only. We need to be edified by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We need food for our souls as well as food for our bodies. Now notice how Paul teaches the Corinthians. I'm just turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 just now, when he speaks of the typology that there was in the Israelites being brought out of Egypt and being brought through the wilderness. But this in particular just now, they did all eat the same spiritual meat, same spiritual food, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, you have types there. In other words, to put it very simply, these things were pictures of spiritual things. The manna was a type. It was a picture of spiritual food. The rock that followed them, or at least as it is understood, the water that flowed from the rock that followed them through the wilderness, that rock was Christ. That rock represented Christ. That rock was a type of Christ. That rock was the source of this great blessing of water. That rock was a picture of Christ as a source of spiritual blessing. That's what we have. Oh, the blessings that we are getting, that there's water still flowing from that rock that followed the children of Israel in the wilderness. Spiritually speaking, there's water flowing from the rock. That rock was Christ. Now, What we are to think of just now is the provision, the meat, the food and the drink that God is providing for our souls. Yes, he is providing for our bodies. And we can hardly imagine this island running out of water. That's a great blessing, that you're never frightened that the water supply might be turned off to conserve it. You can always get plenty water. Well, that's a great blessing. But you see, what we have is an abundant supply of spiritual provision, if only we were willing to take it. You see, that's the great difficulty. That's what we should be concerned about, that we would be willing to drink, that we would be willing to feed on Christ. You see, as you have it in John chapter 6, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. And if you have the word true used in that kind of way, the true bread from heaven, it's in reference to a type. There's the manna. That was a type. That was a picture of food for the soul. Now, when you find the Bible speaking about the true bread, it's pointing to what was symbolized by the type. What is it that was symbolized by the manna? It's spiritual food. It's Christ himself. He is the true bread. It's in him that bread in the wilderness is fulfilled. He is what fulfills the type. And we are to make use of Christ as food for our souls. It's not physical bread that we are concerned with. And you have Paul speaking about the advantages that the Jew had. What advantage then hath a Jew? He says, much every way, but chiefly. What advantage did the Old Testament church have? What advantage does the New Testament church have? Much every way, but chiefly this, that unto the Jews, as the Old Testament church, were committed the oracles of God. Much every way, as far as the New Testament church is concerned, but chiefly this, that we have the oracles of God, we have the scriptures, we have God speaking to us. What have we got then? We've got a provision. And when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God. We shouldn't be hungry. We've got a provision. We shouldn't be spiritually hungry. There's something for our souls. That's what you have. Is there a soul here looking for something? Looking for Christ, looking for salvation, looking for pardon. Something to satisfy them spiritually. Oh well, are you making use of the supply you have? What supply? I've got the outward things, you might be saying. It's something for my soul I'm looking for. Well, it's through the outward things that God will feed your soul. It's through the outward things that God will give you spiritual blessings. That's what you're to think. You have the outward things. And you should bless the Lord that you have the outward things. But are you seeking to find Christ? Are you seeking the hidden manna? There's food for your soul. Are you seeking for the living water? Are you seeking the source of living water? And that is Christ. Are you seeking Christ? Oh, see that you'll be seeking him where it is appointed that you will find. See that you'll be seeking Christ in his word. See that you'll be seeking Christ in the preaching of the word. And see that you'll be praying that Christ would come and meet you so that you might receive. Yes, that's the thing, you see. It's all very well to be in a good land, in a good situation, but it's another matter to be getting good for our souls. The good things are all around us, that is true. And the true bread from heaven is revealed to us in the scriptures. But are we receiving it? After all these services that you have been present at, more or less, have you found Christ? Have you sought for Christ? Have you sought for food for your soul? Have you? Well, all I can do is leave the matter with your consciences. But let me mention two other things before we move on. And the first is this. Here is a gift. Here is a great provision. As Paul mentions to the Ephesians, that the Lord gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, there were four spiritual offices there that have been discontinued. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, three I should say. And there are pastors and teachers, which I take to be one office. Now the Lord has not left his church without pastors and teachers. You have your pastor and you have your pastor, teacher and store. And you are to think of that as a gift from the Lord. And there's a purpose in it. It's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's a gift. You've been put in that kind of situation where you have a pastor. And even if some of you do not have a pastor at the moment, you will hear the preaching. You will hear a pastor preaching from time to time. You've got the means of grace. But what I'm speaking of just now is this, that the Lord has given us his word. And the Lord blesses his word. The Lord can give feeding directly from his word, and he does. But there's this in particular, the means of grace, and particularly the preaching of the word, though there's the sacraments also, and public reading of the word, public prayer, public singing of the psalms. Now, these are gifts. That's part of God's provision. For it has pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, as so many see it. If somebody was to wander in here from the off the street, one might say, and particularly someone who had no biblical background, they might sit in the pew and hear the sermon out and ask very skeptical questions. What is he on about? How does he expect us to believe that sort of thing? you see, the foolishness of preaching to the natural mind, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It is pleasing God still, and it will please God in the future to save sinners through the preaching of the word. And when the preaching of the word is spoken of like that, surely we should be praying for a blessing on it. Praying for a blessing before we come in. Praying for a blessing after we go home. You see, we read of certainly one, a past minister, someone has mentioned another, who were thinking over what they had heard on the previous Sabbath of the preaching of the word, and it was blessed to them then. We shouldn't say it's all over now. We should be trying to get some good from the preached word even afterwards. But my main point just now is the gift of preachers, and what one might tack on to that idea is this: the words of the Saviour, "Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth labourers into his harvest." That's what we should be asking for. That should be part of our prayers, that the Lord would send out more ministers. We might also think that we need congregations as well as ministers, but there's another subject for prayer. Now, another point. And I take that in relation to Nehemiah's prayer in the 9th chapter of his book, when he says to the Lord, "Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct." Now, I've been trying to emphasize a little the word of God and the preaching of the word. How do we expect to get a blessing when the preaching of the word can be so readily described as foolishness? How can we expect a blessing? "Thou gavest thy good spirit to instruct them." And that's what we need. Yes, we need the preaching, but we need the Holy Spirit to bless the word. And so, whenever you get a spiritual meal, if you can go so far as to say that you have eaten and are full, then you have to attribute the blessing you have received to the Holy Spirit applying the word. But let us go on and emphasize further. We've been referring to it, but to emphasize further this matter of the blessing, that is, blessing the Lord, declaring him to be blessed. You see, I've possibly used the expression about the Lord blessing his word. I think I have. And if not in these particular terms, in equivalent terms, the Lord blessing us under his word. And that's a great, great matter. But you see, what we have is that we are to bless the Lord. Now, we cannot add to the Lord's blessedness. That should be obvious. So there's something of a different sense. It's the same word that's used, but used in a somewhat different sense. When we are blessing the Lord, as it is our duty, as that is the duty referred to in the verse here, then what we are doing is to declare that God is blessed, to speak in terms of how blessed he is, and that he goes along with thankfulness. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God. There's thankfulness in it. We're speaking in terms of how wonderful God is, in his kindness, in his grace, in giving us such blessings. And yes, we read of Jesus in connection with feeding the 5,000, that before he distributed the food, he looked up to heaven and he blessed God. He declared his Father to be the Blessed One. He spoke of how blessed God is, and it wished him to be blessed and wished him to be acknowledged among the children of men as blessed. But what we are wanting to emphasize more is the matter of spiritual blessing. And you have that, for instance, in Psalm 109. I don't know how often the word blessed or something equivalent is used in the book of Psalms, but it must be quite a large number. But you have it in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, which I'm sure really means do not forget any of his blessings. The blessings he has poured on us, that he has given us the Bible, that he has given us the preached word. And those of you who have been drawn to follow Christ, what reason you have to bless the Lord, as the psalmist goes on, as David goes on, that he forgiveth all thine iniquities. There's a blessing. And we are to bless God for that. If the Lord has dealt savingly with us, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. And that certainly may be a work in progress, and that's what it is. But you have reason to bless God that he has begun that good work, if that is the case with you. And if he has begun the good work, he will carry it on until the day of Jesus Christ, until you are fully blessed in soul and in body on the day of the resurrection. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy soul, thy mouth, with good things. Spiritual blessings. And however little you might feel on any particular occasion that you have got from the Word of God, still be very thankful for that. For if you have got in your soul some little sight of Christ as a Savior, then you have found, and he will never leave you nor forsake. He will never cast you away to the uttermost bounds of eternity. And you are to bless the Lord for the provision. You are to bless the Lord for what he has done for you. Yes. You are to follow Ezra. Perhaps we can take that just now in terms of our national situation, when he said, "Thou hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve." Now, We might say many things about our national situation and the mess that Parliament is in at present. And in speaking of such things, I don't want to make political points. But let me just apply the matter in this way, that though I feel that the present impasse over Brexit is a case of us being left to ourselves on the political level, and I'm sure it reflects the departures that have been on the political level from the commandments of God over decades now, in particular. But you see, we are still left with many blessings. We have been punished so much less than our iniquities deserve. Though there is so much secularism, there is so much denial of God and of his authority, though there is so much acceptance of evolution and of many ungodly ideas, we still have the gospel. Might be very difficult in various parts of the country to find it, but it's easy enough to find a Bible. Though it's no doubt an element of judgment that so few pay attention to the Bible. There are so few who search the scriptures, but still we're to say, thou hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve. We still have freedom to meet for public worship. There are still those who preach the gospel and whose aim it is to preach the whole counsel of God. Now, there's reason to bless the Lord that in God's kindness he has placed us within a denomination where the Bible is accepted, where it is taken at face value, where it is accepted as inspired, as infallible, free from fault, free from error. Now that's tremendously important. Once that particular dike is breached, even in the smallest way, there's the danger that the dike will soon be swept away, that the force of the current of water, the force of the current of unbelief, is that it has affected many churches, and most directly to us, affected the 19th century Free Church. And you see, we still have the full doctrine of the Westminster Confession as testimony to the teaching of the Bible, what every office bearer swears is the confession of his own faith. Now, these are matters for thanksgiving. These are matters that should make us bless God. Thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Whatever weaknesses we might be conscious of, in particular, how little we see of the work of the Holy Spirit. That should be a matter for great concern. How little there is of the work of the Holy Spirit among us. How few are brought into the kingdom of God. That's a great matter. How little influence our testimony has on the world around us. But you see, still, we should be thankful for what has been left to us. We should be thankful for the ecclesiastical situation in which we are. A good land, a good situation, though we might wish for more. And that's something to pray for. That's something in connection with which we are to seek the Lord. But still, thou shalt bless the Lord thy God. In particular, when the people of God get something for their souls, especially if they could say in some way, I have eaten and am full, then you are to bless the good Lord for the good land in which he has given you your place, the good situation. You are to bless the Lord. You are to be thankful too that he has not left you in a position where if you are going to church, you would be saying, I hope he's not going to say anything wrong today. I hope he's not going to give misleading doctrine. I hope he's not going to leave the unconverted feeling quite easy, as if they were on the way to heaven. I hope there's not going to be any of these things. And the fact that you can, that you do not have to say these things, should lead you to thank the Lord for the privilege that you have. Yes, thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. But you see, there are warnings. And the relevance of the warnings was obvious in the history of the children of Israel. Just going on from our text, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And the danger was that when they had built goodly houses and occupied them, and they had great numbers of herds and flocks and plenty silver and gold, that their hearts would be lifted up, and they would forget the Lord their God, which had brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, who had brought them through the wilderness, who had fed them with manna in the wilderness. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Now, Israel came into the promised land. They very quickly forgot God. They settled down. They could assure themselves of their hunger being satisfied. And they forgot God. They followed idols. You have the whole sequence of cycles and Judges, for instance, forgetting God. Then they were conquered. Then they cried out to God. They were delivered. And the whole cycle went on and on and on into the books of Kings with their forgetfulness of God. Now, the danger is when there's outward prosperity that people will forget God and say, aren't we successful? Haven't we done well? We don't need God. Isn't that where we are today, very largely? And there's a danger that it impinges on the children of God themselves. Not that they're going to say this altogether, but perhaps there's a danger of spiritual complacency when there is a degree of prosperity. And I'm not thinking of people necessarily having large amounts of silver and gold or anything material, but just to be in a situation where one can rely on three square meals a day, or however you might express it. There's a danger of forgetting our dependence on God, firstly for our food, and then for the good of our souls. There's that danger, and that's very much the case in the Western world. It's very much the case in this country. We don't need God. We're quite sure where the next meal is coming from. And if something runs out in the cupboard or the fridge, it's easy enough to go down to the nearest supermarket or corner store and get what one needs. No, we're to remember the Lord our God. We're to remember our dependence on Him. We're to remember the provision He has made. And we're to remember the need we have for our souls. See, the climax, one might say, to the warning. At verse 19, it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Now, I'm not a prophet, and I'm not going to try to prophesy, but I can point out trends. And certainly there was the punishment in these terms that came upon Israel again and again throughout their history, as recorded in the Old Testament scriptures. And what of us? Well, whatever way the Lord may deal with this nation in the future, we are being left to ourselves, spiritually speaking, and that's a very dangerous place to be in. You might have heard in the Old Testament of the judgments of God being outward. In the past century, well, take it a little further, a little over a century, saw the judgment of two world wars. And it did not please the Lord to bless that on any wide scale. People just went further and further away from God generally. Some got a blessing. But you see, to be in the situation we are in is very serious. When everyone does what is right in their own eyes, when people do not see the need of religion, and part of that is because the religion they have seen, it's no use to them. They're very ready to reject true Christianity, but they reject the general form of Christianity. They're nothing the better for it anyway. But what I'm stressing at this point is the terrible situation we are in, when everyone does what is right in their own eyes, and they do not, and they reject the whole idea of God, and they taught to see the Bible as irrelevant. But you see, what we need is the gospel. What we need is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we need that this message should sound out loud and clear, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and that we are sinners. And how striking these words are: except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Take that to heart. You here this day who haven't come to Christ, and you might ask me, what does it mean to eat the flesh of Christ and to drink his blood? Well, obviously it's not meant literally. But the eating and the drinking is receiving. And receiving is believing. Believing the testimony concerning Christ in the Word of God as the one who took our flesh, who came in human age. To receive Christ, to trust in him as the one having come in human age, who died, who poured out his blood. So we're to eat his flesh, we're to drink his blood, we're to receive Christ as the God-man, the one who died, who rose again. We are to trust in him. Oh, hear the call. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And apart from that, there'll be no life, there'll be no heaven, there'll be nothing but the weeping and the wailing and the despair of a lost eternity. The despair. You've no right to despair in this world, because you're in mercy's ground. There's Christ set before you. God in his kindness, bringing you to a table, the gospel table. You're around the gospel table at this moment, one would say. And Christ is set before you, however little, in any particular cell. But Christ, even in the words I've been using in these last few moments, concerning him as the one who came into the world to save sinners, who gave his life a ransom for many. Now take that with you and think over it, ponder it, pray over it. Lord, open my eyes that I might see Jesus in these words, that I might see him and that I might believe him. Bless my soul. Give life. Give me a taste. To taste and see that God is good. The kindness of God in giving his only begotten Son. Yes. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's a faithful say. It's worthy of all acceptation. Yes. And whosoever, Christ says, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. All will be well. And oh, if you get something to encourage, if you get a taste of these things in your soul, then bless the Lord for the good land in which he has placed you. And remember this, whether ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Seek to live a holy life. Ask the Lord to keep you. Ask the Lord to keep your heart, to keep you from every evil way, to seek his glory in all that you do. And if you are forced to say, I cannot glorify the Lord in this, it would be to his dishonor, then keep from it. Flee from it. And cast yourself upon the Lord's care and keeping for time and eternity. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. May the Lord bless his word to it. O Lord, enable us to bless thee for the good land in which thou hast placed us, and the good situation in which thou hast placed us spiritually. When we have thy word, when we have the assurance that there is salvation for sinners. Bless us then. Go before us. Take us in safety through this day. Take us in safety through what remains of our lives. Ah, Lord, hear us graciously. Love us freely. May we flee to thee to cover us. O Lord, do thou bless us. And do thou Mix thy word in faith, with faith in our hearts. Bless what was spoken in thy name at this time, and the sacrament also. Bless the continuing work of the gospel in this congregation, and thy servant over it. And bless the work of the gospel in all our congregations, and in particular in the mission field. And may the whole earth be filled with thy glory. Remember us according to all our needs and concern. May we be committing our ways to thee. Pardon us and bless us and keep us. Do us good thyself. For Jesus' sake, amen.